to all you hockey fans out there as the National Hockey League gets going.
Let's go!
Tonight, and we've got a busy one for you. We have Luke Fox to preview the Toronto Maple Leafs on our tour around Canadian teams. We have the voice of Hockey Night in Canada, Chris Cuthbert, to help us preview this season. Not only today, but tomorrow as well. With Chris Cuthbert, David Amber, the host of Wednesday Night Hockey Tomorrow for those Canadian teams, will be joining us, and John Shannon. Plus, we need your Stanley Cup picks today. 1-877-332-8255. Who are the two teams playing in the Stanley Cup final? Who is going to win? Let us know. Even though I think Locker's pick is obvious.
Do I have to put it in an envelope?
Yes, away we go for the National Hockey League. It is a triple header today. No Canadian teams, though, on the ice in the NHL to start out the season. The Chicago Blackhawks are in Florida to take on the Panthers as they raise their third banner.
Not going to hear this from me much banner at all this year. But
what do you mean?
Go Blackhawks.
Well, you're still bitter, are you?
Oh,
it's a new year. It's a new year. A new you.
No.
You can give up on your grudges to the Panthers and
no.
the Canucks. Okay.
No.
You also have the Penguins in New York. Is this the final opening game for the Penguins and Sidney Crosby together? As the Penguins take on the Rangers. And then the late game, it's the Avalanche against the Los Angeles Kings. Again, we got a busy show. Chris Cuthbert, David Amber. John Shannon, all ahead to help us preview a new season in the National Hockey League.
And the big news yesterday was obviously Connor McDavid extending his current contract, same money, another 2 years. He spoke to the press today.
2 years makes a lot of sense. Gives us a chance to continue chasing down what we've been chasing down here with the core guys that have been here and know a little bit of money to work with too. So I think the deal makes sense for both sides.
So he's got the final year of his last contract this year and then an extension of 2 years. A lot of people, myself included, I believe Jamie as well, all predicted that he would sign and make some sort of a deal with the Oilers before the puck drop. That happened. And again, if you missed it, I hope jail was fun. $12.5 million is the surprise. I think the 2 years... A lot of people thought that that was going to be what he signed, a shorter deal. And you know what? Everybody I'm hearing talk about this deal is saying the same thing. Whether you're an Oilers fan or not, he's basically got this team on notice. Win me a cup in 3 years.
I listened to him today, and I'm like, he is done after these 3 years.
Yeah.
He is out. He literally said... His exact words were talking about, I signed for two because out of loyalty for the guys who have signed here and came to play here.
Because of me.
I wanted to see that through.
Yeah.
He's done after these 3 years.
I think that the narrative changes if he can win a cup or two in the next 2 years.
Then he can go anyway. So there, I got you the cup I wanted. Bye.
You think regardless if he wins or loses, he's done?
I think so. I think he is out. I think he seriously thought about leaving, but when I can't do that to Leon, I need to give him some notice.
Yeah.
After he signed that big extension. And then it signals to the team that trade deadline at some point, if they want to and they're not in a cup contention or something, they can. I
agree with you. The more I hear him speak, the more it becomes up. Because winning, I mean, obviously, he's saying what. He's been saying that forever. I'm here to win a cup. I'm here to win a cup. The most important thing is for me to win. It's not about the money. I want to win. But then if you listen to him and you read between the lines, I'm hearing this decision here was, yes, about winning and giving the team a chance to win with the money that he's already been making. Yep. But at the same time, it was about the guys in the room.
He wanted to, it was his...
It's his last dance. That's what I feel like. The next 3 years are the last dance of the Edmonton Oilers, as we currently know them.
And yeah, I'm an Oilers fan. I don't want to see him leave, but I don't think you're wrong. And I think if you're an Oilers fan and you're not hearing that this is it, wow, you're naive. Really, really naive. I think this is it. We got 3 years, boys. Let's get her done. And then I'm going to Arizona with Matthews.
Yeah, that's my conspiracy theory. They're going to expand to Arizona. Matthews and McDavid both sign there. And Gary gets his Stanley Cup in the desert like he's always wanted. Okay, Major League Baseball. Get the brooms out, Jays fans. Shane Bieber has the ball against the Yankees tonight.
And how about that? Can't throw a fastball in a better spot than that. As he strikes out for out number two. Swing and a miss. And Shane Bieber just struck out the side.
Yes, the Jays up 2-0. Bieber gets the ball for the Jays. Rodon gets the ball for the Yankees. 6:08 is the first pitch tonight in New York City. Of course, there's just 2 games today. The Mariners and the Tigers are starting right now. That series tied 1-1. Of course, the winner of the Jays and Yankees play the winner of the Mariners and the Tigers in the American League Championship Series.
And what a fantastic Monday nighter.
Now Lawrence goes down, has to get up, breaks the tackle, touchdown Jacksonville.
As
what was Trevor Lawrence doing at the end of the game? Someone stepped on his foot, I think, wasn't it?
Yes.
I'm not sure what happened, but that was fantastic. A 31-28 victory for the Jaguars over the Chiefs. The Chiefs are now 2-3. They're going to miss the playoffs.
What was Chris Jones on the board? What was he doing on? Watch that play with Trevor Lawrence floundering like a baby deer. And then Chris Jones, the veteran, the guy who's making millions, just like, what's going on? Are we still playing? He's like, literally, like, what's? Well, why is he running in the end zone? Wasn't he?
The Jaguars are 4-1.
Wild. Liam Cohen.
That was the only way last night, Jamie, that was the only way that bizarre week of football wraps up. By the way, I got to tell this story. I'd forgotten about it. My wife looks at me and she goes, doesn't that guy look like an avatar? And I'm like, what? She goes, the quarterback,
Trevor Lawrence.
You remember, you've seen the Avatar memes, haven't you?
I don't think so. No.
What? This is not a thing? This is not on your radar? Okay, Google this. You need to Google it. Trevor Lawrence, Avatar.
Is this a thing?
This is a thing. I've seen the memes before.
Okay.
Trevor Lawrence, Avatar. Google it.
Looks
hit
like
images.
Avatar. It's all over to the TikTok. there it is. Okay. Now I see. Now I won't be able to not see it with Trevor Lawrence and Avatar.
Yeah.
Terrible ride in Disney World, by the way. The Avatar. There's one really good one that's lined up forever. And then there's another one, like it's a small world, but Avatar. Awful. Waste of time. Meanwhile, the Rough Riders have a new quarterback. Or a new quarterback. Hold on. Let me reset.
That would be news.
You distracted me with Avatar.
Now, hold on. We would have started with that, I think.
Yeah, we would have started with that. They have a new kicker. I'm so used to talking about the backup quarterback. They have another backup kicker.
Kick is away. It looks good. It is good from 54 yards out. Michael Hughes may never have to buy another meal and Boone in his life.
I can tell you he won't.
The next time I talk to Michael Hughes, the new kicker for the Rough Riders, I need to ask him if he ever had to buy a meal and Boone again. He was the kicker Appalachian State. That was a game winner from 54 yards. He was about 83% in college, never missed a convert. Was an all-star in, he was one of the kickers they added to the negotiation list yesterday, signed him today. He was at practice.
He was here today.
Yes, he was. He's American. They're going to have to flip the ratio around somewhere to figure it out. If he kicks, Britton Gray's going to have a lot more on this story. But I talked about this on the post-game show. Everybody's like, now what do you do a kicker? And I said, you could go sign an American. You'd have to flip the ratio. when Tavon Campbell comes back,
yeah,
if he comes back, he's a Canadian. You put him on, take the American DB off, and then the Canadian-American kicker switches. Easy. We'll see if that's the way the Riders go.
But do you think he kicks Friday?
I'm not sure about that. The ratio could get real weird this week with injuries and things.
Yeah.
But if they clinch, let him kick the last two games. See what you got ahead of the playoffs. Mm. But Corey Mace and Jeremy O'Day,
at least they're
clearly not happy.
They're addressing it.
But I can also understand, why didn't you bring these guys in 5 weeks ago? Yeah. Why wait till now? So a new kicker arrived in Ryderville today. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, we're looking for your Stanley Cup predictions. I'm going to test Locker, though. He can't say Edmonton. That's the rule with Locke. He can't say Edmonton's going to win the cup. He's got to pick a new team. I'll let him figure that out over the next few minutes. Yes, here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. We want your Stanley Cup predictions. Night one of the NHL season, a triple header. The Florida Panthers will be hanging that banner for the second straight year pretty soon. Game one starts at 3 o'clock this afternoon. It's a triple header for three all-American matchups. The Canadian teams, four of them, get started tomorrow with the Habs and the Leafs. And, of course, the Oilers and the Flames in the Battle of Alberta. So your Stanley Cup predictions, 1-877-332-8255.
Two teams in the winner.
What do we got so far? Couple of Colorado Avalanche and the Boston Bruins, says Clint from Warman. Dallas is winning the Stanley Cup against the Tampa Bay Lightning, says Tom. Kirk is predicting the Panthers to beat the Oilers for the third straight year. 1-877-332-8255.
Florida's
without Barkov and Tkachuk.
Yeah, well, I
don't see it happening.
I cannot. There's no way. And not only that, like every team. We were talking about this with Justin Blackwell. You're going to see that Tampa Bay game from Thursday from the preseason, where you got 400 penalty minutes. You're going to see teams are mad. They're done being pushed around by the Florida Panthers. It's going to be their games are going to be just bloodbaths.
Did you see their social media? Like, especially Marchand, he was thumbing his nose at every team in the National Hockey League about all the players that ended up in Florida.
You think
from
that goes
Calgary,
unnoticed? This isn't an Oilers thing either. This is across the league thing. They're arrogant, and they're going to get. Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch those games.
Look what Tampa did to them in the preseason game. They got fined $100,000 for wanting to beat the snot out of them in a preseason game.
You're going to see that all season long, especially at the front end when the games don't matter as much.
Let us know what your predictions are for the NHL season. Who wins the cup? Who's in the cup final? Let us know. So far, a lot of Dallas coming in on the text line with the Dallas Stars. Glenn Gulletson coming over from the Edmonton Oilers to be the new head coach in Dallas this year, but a full season.
I think you need a year.
Rantanen.
Vancouver went to Philly. Good Lord.
Rick Tocchet.
Even Tocchet is going to need a year, right? Yeah, you need like, as a new coach, you need to get your feet underneath of you. I don't know. I think that's a little too soon for Dallas, in my opinion.
Chris Knobloch was in the Stanley Cup final after 6 months and then went back in a first full season.
Still hasn't won it.
They got close, Locker. Jamie and Locker with the air of the Green Zone. Night one of the NHL season. A triple header. Actually starts in about a half an hour with the Panthers raising that banner for the second straight year after winning the Stanley Cup against the Edmonton Oilers. Also,
I hope it falls down.
Locker's still
lights on fire.
Still bitter.
The
Did you see their rings yesterday, Locker? Did you check those out? Just okay. I'll leave you be.
Oh my goodness. Anyways. We're going to be jack wagons with our rings.
Like we apologize to no one was. Anyways, the NHL season starts tonight. Tomorrow, you got the Leafs and the Montreal Canadiens. We're still asking for your Stanley Cup predictions as well at 1-877-332-8255. But we continue our Canadian tour of NHL franchises. Our next stop is Toronto, Ontario, the Toronto Maple Leafs. Start the season, as mentioned, tomorrow. Luke Fox joins us of Sportsnet. Luke, Matthews put the media on notice. Was today the last day you could ask about Mitch Marner, or is that tomorrow?
I think people are done with those questions, but there's no doubt that it's still going to linger in the background until we see this team hit the ice for real. Because, yeah, we can maybe avoid asking those questions, but that doesn't mean that it's not going to be hovering out there. The Matthews and Marner were tied at the hip through good and bad for 9 seasons. And this is the first time in 10 years that we get a look and see what Austin Matthews and William Nylander and the rest of them can do without one of the premier setup men in the league. Led all forwards in minutes last year, led the team in scoring with 102 points, plays top line 5-on-5, top power play, top PK. So, you know, the pitch here is that, yeah, we may have lost an elite talent, and we're not going to deny that, but we're deeper, we're stronger, we're more built for the playoffs, and we're more of a team now, more balanced. So, all we can do is watch and see just how much Marner's absence is going to make a difference on these Leafs.
So, Luke, speaking of things that the center of the universe can't let go of, let's talk about McDavid. By the way, I do have to give you guys some credit in Toronto because minutes after that announcement was made, Matthews was trending and people in Toronto and Ontario were already saying that this deal had nothing to do with him wanting to stay in Edmonton, but just to line up the contracts with Austin Matthews. So brilliant trolling on your part again.
I have a conspiracy theory, though. I need to bounce off Luke.
Okay.
They expand to Arizona and Matthews and McDavid sign there together. That is my wild, wild NHL conspiracy theory.
That is very wild. That is very wild. It is interesting. I'm not saying that, you know, Connor McDavid's coming to Toronto, but it is interesting that they share an agent and they now share an expiry date. And I'll throw in another name at you because he's another Judd Moldaver client, Zach Werenski, who was a finalist for the Norris Trophy. So all three of those guys are coming due in the same summer. And
they're all going to retire in Arizona.
Yeah. But it is interesting. Like, there's the potential, and it's still, you know, we love to chat about player movement. And 9 times out of 10, all these guys, we saw it even in the summer in free agency with Florida keeping their guys and Brock Besser returning to Vancouver. 9 times out of 10, the guys just stay with the teams that they started with.
Yeah.
But McDavid taking a 2-year deal is fascinating. And Austin kind of set the mold by taking a 4-year deal. We thought that was short. 2 years is even shorter. So maybe we are just getting a glimpse that the players might start to go the NBA route a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, ditching the long-term safety of 8 years and saying, hey, we're playing under a spiking cap. And not even about money, but about controlling where they play and where they best have a chance to win a championship. The players seem to be taking a little bit more control, the superstar players at least,
100%
over their destiny.
And if you're an Oilers fan, we've been just repeating this, but it's worth saying again here. If you're naive to think that this deal isn't some sort of a message to the team, you're crazy. You're crazy. Like I fully suspect if they don't win that he's gone in 3 years.
Yeah. No, I concur. you know, he's given them a chance, right? And then he's really throwing management a lifeline by taking a 0% raise. Like, this is unprecedented. I mean, it's Crosby-esque, but I think it's even more impressive because he's firmly in his prime. The cap has never been spiking more than it has right now. And if you go by, you know, what he accepted last time compared to what he's accepting now in terms of percentage of cap, it's phenomenal, the leeway he's given Stan Bowman. So Oilers fans, I think there's reason to celebrate because I do believe that he was contemplating playing the year out and, you know, decided to say, you know what, let's get rid of the noise, two extra years. But Oilers fans are on the clock, Stan Bowman's on the clock. I mean, there was already pressure to build around McDavid, mm-hmm. but now it's just accelerated and there seems to be an expiry date on it.
Luke Fox joining us as we bring it back to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Of course, you saw this was very much a Kyle Dubas, Sheldon Keefe, Brendan Shanahan team. Mm-hmm. Then it transitions to Treliving, then Craig Berube. This is year two of that. How much will the Leafs, I don't think they'll ever mirror what St. Louis was a few years ago, but how has the culture, has the DNA of the Toronto Maple Leafs changed for this season?
Well, that's the goal, because this is very much a Treliving Berube team. It started with the back end. That was kind of the first area that Treliving really dug in, and he's like wanted to bring in guys who are pure defenders, love size. So he went and got big goalies. He went and got big defensemen with experience and range and guys who were fearless when it came to shot blocking, led by Chris Tanev, who, you know, for my money has been a godsend for this team just in terms of playing the right way and prioritizing keeping the puck out before worrying about going the other way. And now it's kind of trickled up to the forward group. So Marner leaves, and no doubt that's a loss, but what they gained was money to spend elsewhere. So the idea is that their third line is going to be better. Their fourth line is going to be better. They're going to be a deeper team. And you probably remember that 2019 St. Louis Blues team. They just rolled lines. That's how Berube likes to coach. He likes kind of everyone feeling part of it, everyone feeling like they have a role. And what happened in the early days of the Shanna plan was there felt like there was a team A and a team B. There felt like a very clear hierarchy within the dressing room. The big guys get all the minutes. When the game's on the line, they're always out there. When we're down by a goal, we'll play them extra because we don't trust anybody else. And, oh, yeah, they're also going to be our main penalty killers, and they're going to be on the billboards. Berube's trying to just narrow that gap between the first liner and the fourth liner a little bit. You know, a few minutes here, a few minutes there, give them to the other guys and make everyone feel more inclusive. So, you know, I think Dakota Joshua, former Canuck, is probably going to be a fan favorite. He runs guys through the wall, you know, straight lines, fast, huge, mean. Nick Waugh is a good two-way centerman. We'll slot bump around between the third and fourth line, kill some penalties. But he's a big guy, and he's got pretty good hands. None of these guys are replacing Marner. Like, let's be honest. But they are going to be valuable contributors. They're not going to be, like, wondering what their role is. They know why they were brought in here for a very specific job, and Berube believes they can be consistent with that every night.
I like this team. I am not a Leafs fan, and I probably get more joy out of teasing Leaf fans than I do actually cheering for my own team. But I got to say, I'm impressed. But I do think that the success of the Toronto Maple Leafs stems on a good year from Austin Matthews. He's proven himself to be a complete player over the last couple of years with the growth of his defensive game. But there is the question marks around his injury. Now, has this been talked about much at all in the offseason, in the preseason here, Luke? And where are you at with seeing him? Like, is he made like noticeable steps in that regard with his wrist, right?
Is his back.
It's his back?
Now,
okay.
2 years, 2 years ago, it was the wrist. And maybe the wrist was bothering him last year, too. He's very private when it comes to injuries. But I can say with confidence that the major injury that he was dealing with, he went to Germany, I think it was December, November, like before the Christmas break.
For the hair transplant? No? Okay. All right.
That was the back. And then it kept popping up. You know, I cover this team on a daily basis. So there were a few times where he'd miss a morning skate or he'd miss a practice in the middle of playoffs. And that was really abnormal for a healthy Matthews. So he was battling through it. There's no doubt about it. One source close to him said that there were games before where he had trouble bending over to even tie his own skates. So, you know, how much of that is people around the team and around the superstar wanting to get that message out there to say, hey, the guy didn't just drop off from 69 goals all the way down to 33 goals because he's lost it. It's because he was hurt and he was pushing through being hurt. Now, does he look great in camp? Sure. He scored in both the preseason games he participated in. He's looked like a beast in the battle drills amongst his teammates. But it's a whole different story when you're 3 weeks in and every night people are leaning on you and you're feeling the weight of the captaincy and you don't have your main setup man there to find you an open space. And maybe the coach is asking you to carry the puck a little bit more as opposed to Marner and drive your line a little bit more. And the opponents know that you were banged up last year and maybe they're trying to get an extra shot in you. So, you know, right now he looks fantastic. He says he's healthy. Everyone around him says that he looks fantastic. To my eye, he looks really determined and engaged. I think there's a chip on his shoulder. You know, he's the focus of a big preview story that I have dropping on the website tomorrow morning because I think this year depends so much upon him. But let's check back in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and see how that back is. See how he's doing with the pressure of carrying this team without Marner.
Okay, the Green Zone Luke Fox tradition will continue here on the Green Zone. Of course, a rap aficionado, writer of books, Luke Fox, and hockey writer extraordinaire. Locker has another skill testing lyrical question. Name that artist.
All right, so here's the lyric. We need the artist and the song title. Baby, I like your style. Grips on your waist. Front way, back way, you know that I don't play.
Oh, I think that's Drake, One Dance.
Yeah, baby!
Woo! Perfect. Luke Fox remains undefeated on that's like what three for three or four for four.
It's three for three,
undefeated. We're trying to get more challenging, but
that's a little. I mean, I get it. The Toronto connection. That's where I'm from. I don't. That song's a little soft for my taste. But I'm just happy I got it right.
Okay. I was a little worried about grabbing Drake, but.
Noted for next time, Luke. Always appreciate your time. Enjoy night one tomorrow for the Leafs and the Habs.
Yeah, the hockey season's here.
Let's go. Woo! Let's go. That is Luke Fox from Sportsnet. Check out all his work with the Leafs, of course, for another interesting season for the Toronto Maple Leafs ahead. I like that team, too. I think we're both picking them to go to the Stanley Cup final, except my reason's a lot more chaotic than your reason.
Yeah, no, I do enjoy your reason, though, too.
I'll get to my prediction a little bit later on here on the Green Zone. But coming up next, this day in sports history, also still to come, Chris Cuthbert, the voice of Hockey Night in Canada, will be here. The host of Wednesday Night Hockey, David Amber, John Shannon, and we'll keep you up to date on the baseball today as well. Are the Jays going to sweep the Yankees tonight? Get out the brooms, baby! This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Well, it's the opening of the NHL season, so what has happened on October the 7th in the opening of the NHL season, 1992, October 7th, the Tampa Bay Lightning's first ever game.
David DeCanto, he scores! There it is, the first ever goal scored by Chris Kontos. In front, they score! Kontos again! Rebic Vasov can't get it out. Rieke a shot. Kontos, a great, he scores! In front, they score! What a tip in there by Contos, his fourth goal of the game.
Yeah, Chris Contos scores four in the Lightning's opening game, October the 7th, 1992. 15 years ago. Am I that old?
Two on one. Here's Eberle. Eberle backhander. What a beautiful goal. The toe drag from forehand to backhand. Jordan Eberle. Wow.
That was Jack Michael's first game as the voice of the Edmonton Oilers as well on the radio for Jordan Eberle's.
Was it?
First game. Yes, it was. And in 2017, it was the second night for the NHL.
Kuznetsov. Cross rink, Ovechkin's drive, he scores! Wow. Another hat trick for Alex Ovechkin.
He started the season with back-to-back hat tricks and seven goals in his first two games in 2017, a four-goal performance on this day in hockey history.